From housing and broadband to workforce and pensions, the Vermont legislature has been working on some of the biggest government spending initiatives the state has ever seen. But one of the most consequential bills of 2022 doesn't involve much in the way of new spending. Instead, it changes how Vermont distributes money to public schools. VPR's Peter Hirschfeld has been following the push to overhaul education financing in Vermont, and he's here to tell us what it could mean. Hi, Pete.
Hi, Grace.
So, Pete, before we get to the legislation itself, what's the problem that legislators are trying to solve?
So we have a statewide education financing system in Vermont, and the concern is that money from that statewide fund is not being distributed equitably across the 100 or so school districts that rely on it to educate their students. The concern derives in large part from a study that was done a few years ago by researchers at the University of Vermont and Rutgers University. They found that Vermont's funding system doesn't adequately account for the fact that some categories of students cost more to educate. If you want a kid from poverty, for example, to hit the same academic goals as a kid who isn't from poverty, a school has to spend, on average at least, twice as much money on that student. English language learners cost more to educate, so do kids in rural areas, kids in small schools. High school students cost more to educate than elementary school students. Some Vermont school districts have higher proportions of these categories of kids than other districts do. And that study that I mentioned found that these districts with higher needs students have effectively been getting shortchanged for decades by a funding system that doesn't acknowledge those cost realities. Dover Representative Laura Sebelia has been pushing for school financing reform for years. She gave a really emotional speech on the House floor about what these funding inequities, as she sees them, have meant for districts. And here's how she tried to sort of bring the reality of the situation home for her House colleagues.
Facilities were under-maintained. High-quality instructors and administrators were lost to districts that could pay them more. Arts and extracurriculars, which can be life-changing for students in poverty, were cut or disappeared. Morale was impacted in these districts, and the students were hurt by it all.
So education officials have been sounding the alarm for years about the financial neglect that they see these lower income, more diverse districts suffering from as a result of this existing system. And lawmakers have decided it's time to do something about it.
How would the legislation address the inequities in the current funding system?
You know, the education financing system in Vermont is notoriously complex, but at a very high level, this bill would change the way Vermont counts its students. A student from poverty, for example, would count double under this bill. An English language learner would become the equivalent of 2.5 students. This is something called pupil weighting. And when you put these new weights into the existing school funding formula, it has the effect of changing the way that money gets meted out to districts. Addison County Senator Ruth Hardy is one of the big drivers behind this bill, and here's how she explained it to me.
The formula applies the weights and distributes taxing capacity across the state so that towns and school districts have the ability to draw from our shared education fund the amount of revenue they need to educate students of all different kinds.
So what this means is that if you're a district in a low-income community with lots of kids from poverty, or a district like Winooski with lots of English language learners, the same local tax rate you're using now would generate significantly more dollars for your school with these new pupil weights. Conversely, though, Grace, if you're a district in an affluent community, it's going to mean that you'd need to increase your local tax rates in order to maintain the same level of spending.
So it sounds like some districts are going to really benefit from these changes, but others could be facing some potentially significant tax increases. How are those districts responding to the proposal?
Yeah, and just to sort of put a fine point on how significant those tax increases could be, there are going to be districts that would have to raise local tax rates by as much as 25% in order to maintain existing spending levels. So it's a big deal. You would think, given that there would be real pushback to this proposal from communities that stand to be losers, as it were. The fascinating component to this debate, though, is that we haven't really seen a lot of opposition. Zach McLaughlin is the superintendent of the Springfield School District in Brattleboro. His own community would see a reduction in taxing capacity under this plan. But he told lawmakers that superintendents and school boards across Vermont whether they're in rich towns or poor ones, are largely on board with something that they see as being necessary for the greater good.
And regardless of the impact on people's individual systems, educational leaders across the state are looking at this and saying, this is a moral issue. It will have different impacts on a variety of different places, but this is necessary if we really believe what we claim we believe as a state, that it would be necessary to have this occur.
There's a coalition of school districts, Grace, that have been lobbying extraordinarily hard for this bill. One of the reasons they had so much pull is that this coalition includes officials from districts that are going to, from a financial perspective anyway, be negatively impacted by the proposal. They share McLaughlin's view that we as a state have a moral imperative to make sure all kids have equal access to education resources. And even if that means a tax hike for some communities, they say it's a necessary trade-off to attain that higher ideal.
Is this bill going to pass this year? And if it does, when will local school districts start feeling the effects of the law?
So the bill passed by a huge majority in the House last week. The Senate has already given approval to a substantially similar version of the bill. And while the governor has some concerns about the plan, the overwhelming momentum for this in the legislature means it's very much on track to become law. The new pupil weights would take effect during the 2024-2025 school year under the House's version of the bill. What those effects will look like precisely, though, that remains to be seen. The hope, of course, is that needier districts will use the new system to increase the resources they have to teach their students. But there's no guarantee that'll happen, because the way this proposal works, a district could decide instead to keep its spending flat and just lower its tax rates. Lawmakers say this is going to be a disruptive thing for all school districts and that it's going to be tough to predict with certainty how it's all going to sugar off. They've created an oversight mechanism that's going to assess really frequently how this all plays out in reality. A lot of lawmakers and education officials I've talked to say this is the biggest change to the education financing system since Act 60 came into being 25 years ago. So there's a lot at stake here, and it's one of those pieces of legislation where we won't understand the full impact until years after the bill is passed into law.